The following is a special presentation of the Buccaneers Sports Network. This is the Jay and Keith Show. Two broadcasters.
Oh, yeah.
Two microphones. And one meticulously scripted podcast.
You what?
Just kidding. Get it, J-K? You get it.
That's what I thought was so funny. It's not funny.
Alongside Keith Brake, here's the voice of the Bucs, Jay Sandoz.
All right, Jay and Keith, more traditional Tuesday pod, and there is a lot to talk about because I read the X or whatever it's called nowadays. There are people coming at us that we took this long to get into a porno watch, which we'll do in a second.
Yes.
But also I had to remind people, like, you know, really, we need to let it breathe a little bit because the only ones in the portal when they were sending me that
were grad transfers. There was like a sprinkle, and now it's a flood.
Yes.
It's a full-on monsoon.
I was trying to track this. I had a count, and I've lost it. Basically, every no more than 6 minutes, there's a new one in the portal. We've got a new record right now of 11 minutes, but it's probably because I've not refreshed it. But
yeah, it is a veritable deluge of transfers.
It started yesterday with a little over 250-ish. Now, it did officially, I guess we should say that, the portal did, for everyone that's not a grad transfer, did come open on Monday morning. So from Monday morning until we're recording a pod midday Tuesday, it's already reached over 500, so about 250-ish folks had joined in on the men's side. I'm going to have Keith keep me up to date on the women's side here. I can only do – you know, I'm not very good. I can only do one thing at a time.
Yes. Yeah, I think we can definitely dive into a lot of that. Right now, I think I'm just going to get up and go get a cup of coffee, and we're going to get fired up, and we're gonna really jump into this thing once we have a good opportunity to analyze it. Oh, no! Oh, no, it's opening! The portal's opening!
It's opening!
Ah! Portal watch.
Kind of reminds me of Dr. Pepper, you know, where they're like, no, don't let him go. And they're like, well, you get to Dr. Pepper. We'll find another quarterback, you know.
Yeah, right.
I kind of feel like, you know, and since Dr. Pepper is one of our sponsors with our Pepsi Cola deal there, you know, I feel like I can bring that up. But Fanville, it feels a lot like that.
Fansville,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, you know, I guess there's
this week on Fansville.
So
I like talking this way because it makes everything sound important.
Fansville, you want to jump in the portal instead of couch talk? Okay, here we go.
Oh, do you want to talk about the couch?
No, you already hit.
Let's do it.
This is now the portal.
This is the couch of transference because it transferred from the football office to the Buccaneers Sports Network.
It was in the
studio.
Portal, if you will.
Yes, it was in the portal. It was available. It did not have a do not contact tag on it. A player that we'll talk about that I think is a very interesting player, like nationally, not necessarily for us, but also somebody that's kind of a hashtag old friend. We saw her earlier this year. But, me and Will Odell, who's one of the student assistants for ETSU football. Odell is impossible to miss. He is exceedingly tall, and he loves telling you how much he hates Chattanooga.
Yes, from Chattanooga and hates Chattanooga.
Yes.
Love every second of when he talks.
Yeah.
He probably use more chat hate in a random drive-by setting than I do, which is hard.
Yeah.
Hard to do. And he's from there, so I love it even more. Also, you know, because a good coach-to-coach, right, you can't, you know, you got to do your due diligence your portal, acquisition, whatever it is. And I asked Coach Lamb about it, and all he said was it is older than him. And
yes.
So,
and
that's good enough for me. It means it's broken in.
Yeah, and he's older than me, so it's older than me as well.
Was this the one that was in Billy Taylor's
maybe.
Office? Or is this the one that was in
I think it was in Billy's office, which became Trey Lamb's office.
Which kind of feels like it stayed in the kind of a Buck tradition, right?
Yeah.
Billy had it there from the mid-90s. You bring it on over.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Do my Billy Taylor friend. Yeah. You know exactly the face he makes when you say that too. Like that's the I love Billy. He's gonna kill it at Tuscaloosa.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
All right.
Portal watch.
We're gonna go in reverse alphabetical order by school. Wofford, I don't think any shockers. Chase Martin and Quentin Meza are in the portal.
Now, Chase Martin was the one, depending on what show you want to refer to, had the Joe Dirt hair, if I'm not mistaken. He had the lovely mame. I don't know what to call it.
Okay.
But it was a very 80s band haircut. I enjoyed. Anyways, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I was on the road during the Wofford game here, so I didn't get to see it in person. Yeah, not a whole lot going on in Spartanburg. Western Carolina, though, because they had the coaching change, the Catamounts have a grand total of 7 and counting in the portal. Starting with perhaps most notable would be sophomore DJ Campbell, who was pretty good. I think he was the backup point guard. And Colin Granger, big country. 6'9", 230 grad transfer. Those are the two most. Bernard Pilot is also in. Cornelius Williams, Caleb Seiler, Kamari Jones, and Keyshawn Brown Jr.
Yeah, and Williams, I'm curious. I guess they got rid of the two-time transfer, but he started at LSU, then transferred to Western.
You no longer need a waiver.
Right. So right now, it's nothing holding him back or anybody else doing it. But yeah, he'll be on his third school. Granger, I believe, would be on his third school, but I believe he's a grad transfer. He's a grad transfer. Sometimes these years throw you off. And then, you're right, out of that, Campbell, Granger, Williams, Pelote, Granger.
Some players that are good, but not like program changers.
No, but I think, you know, if you're missing a shot blocker, maybe go for Williams. If you need just a guy to do everything inside, I think Granger could fit that role. Campbell was a streaky shooter. It's hard to get on the floor with Woolbright and Jackson and Russell Jones Jr. I mean, it was hard to get shots, so I'll be curious to see.
It would have been a lot easier to get shots had he stayed because he was in line to probably take a lot of them. As I'm scrolling up here in reverse alphabetical order through Portal Watch, one name pops out. At Wake Forest, Damari Monsanto is in the portal with 1 year remaining. He was real, obviously started at ETSU, redshirted, then was good in 2021, and went to Wake, was really good last year. This year, he's kind of banged up, only averaged about 5.5 points a game. He only scored 32 total points after February 1st, so looking for somewhere that he can finish his college career strong after his time in Winston-Salem.
Yeah, I think he was a fan favorite. So going back, you know, he redshirted on the 30-4 team.
Right.
Then his first year was the COVID year with Coach Shea. Then he transferred to Wake Forest. Had some injuries that he blew out. I guess it was Achilles his second year at Wake. Then he had a little bit of some injury problems this year. So he, when healthy, we all know he can shoot. And so his size, his ball handling, the shooting. Again, he had some trouble, some injuries this year. What would the market be? Now, there was the rumor that last year North Carolina's collective tried to convince him for six figures to go that way, or at least that's the story that was played up in the game this year between Wake Forest and UNC watching it. So I'll be curious to see what the market is for Monsanto coming off what was a down year compared to what he did last year. But, again, he had a lot of injuries. It was tough for him to stay out on the floor. So we'll see how it goes. We got 1 year to go, and I know the Buck fans are all dreaming, but I don't think it's going to happen.
If I gave you a number on VMI, how many players in the portal?
How many is on a legal roster? I will say all of them. It's probably under that.
You got to be kidding me.
It's probably under that, but I don't know, 10.
8.
Okay, that's close.
8.
And all probably good players.
I need this. I need the Stanley Parable on the instant replay. 8. Just hit the button 8. It says 8 over and over again. There are 8 cadets in the transfer portal, including Brennan Watkins.
He'll be gobbled.
Stephen Oluwani, who Bruce Tranbarger, during a commercial break, took his headset off and turned to me during the game here in Johnson City and said, Oluwani can play. He's pretty good and a great young player.
Yeah, and he's one of those guys that's kind of like a chore. You know, I was told he was raw, and you can see it.
Yes.
And now, I don't say he's going to go somewhere and become a chore, but I had the same thoughts about a chore last year as I did Oluwani, talking to Bruce as well. Like, you can see he's got something He just got to figure it out.
Right.
But I think that'd be a good get for somebody to take a flyer on. Plus, it was 6'8 or whatever. So
6'8, 185 listed.
I probably could throw a few pounds.
Little lean.
Right.
Little lean, but not too bad. Yep. David Nussbaum, Tayshaun Jackson, the second. Corey Cotton, who had been in the portal for a little bit, he has already actually found a new home. Tyrann Cook, freshman guard. Corey Chesley, another freshman guard. And Devin Butler, who we found out was going in the portal before the season ended, but as a grad transfer, so he honored his commitment to VMI and saw out his career with the Keydets. He'll have 1 year left.
Yeah, and I think out of, you know, a couple years ago, VMI had a bunch of transfers, and I'm thinking a lot of guys got to go transfer down. Out of this group, I'll give Andrew Wilson this. I mean, out of that group, he's got five or six guys I think that easily will get D1.
Oh, for sure.
One already did. I mean, yeah. some last year, two years ago, they had some go in, and I'm like, oof, I don't think any of those guys, you know, really should be at that level. But I think there'll be six out of the eight that probably would get a decent look at the Division I level.
UNCG has two in, Jalen Gibson and Mikel Brown-Jones. Brown-Jones gets his degree. He'll have, one year remaining of eligibility for a new school other than UNCG, where he had a fantastic, albeit short, career after transferring in from VCU. In a world where Vontarius Woolbright doesn't exist, Brown-Jones had a very legitimate claim to SoCon Player of the Year.
Yeah, him, J.P. Pegues, and Woolbright were the three best players. I don't even think it's close. I think they were the three, and that was it. But Brown-Jones, especially with the Langleys being gone, graduating out finally. That was my running joke with Coach Savage. Said, how many guys still been around the league since you were in the league, Coach? But the Langleys are still there.
Langleys were still there.
I mean, if you combine their 5 years apiece of playing and then their dad, who was a UNCG legend before, he got 19 years of Langleys. Now, again, five are doing the same, but you still got 19 years combined in a family at UNC. That's pretty solid, and a legacy for the Langleys altogether. That being said, I will not miss the Langleys because they were a thorn in a lot of people's
eyes. Langacy, if you will.
A legacy. That's something I would come up with. And then Brown Jones. So we'll do this in about a week when a lot of the names are all the way out there, maybe 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I'll love to go back and look at, okay, here's who they started with last year. Here's who we know what's left before anybody gets in there, and then try to predict what's going to happen next year without seeing who anybody gets, and just go from there, have a good time. Of course, none of it will mean anything. It's just fun fodder for, you know, people like me and Keith to kill time.
The all-portal name team is one of my favorite pastimes. Out of the Citadel, Ed Conroy loses his sophomore point guard, Madison Durr, and Levi Burkholz, who I feel like kind of struggled to find a role with the Bulldogs this season. Two Citadel players in the portal.
Yeah, Durr will be, I think, picked up. I don't know about Burkholz. Unless somebody – he's got some ties somewhere that somebody else sees. I didn't see practice every day. I didn't see other, but just a little bit of time of watching some non-conference games, and I think he got him for like 2 minutes against ETSU. Didn't play a lot in league action, so you know, maybe just not a good fit there. Will he stay Division I? I don't know, but I think Madison Durr's got certainly some key pieces, and we'll find a home, no doubt. I think there's a – sometimes Citadel VMI, in the past I've looked at him, I went, I don't know, but I think, you know, so far the names have been out there. I think those, you know, give both coaches credit. That's tough to recruit to as freshmen, and they're able to get not just quality Division I players, but Division I players, unfortunately, that are going to move on to do something else somewhere else.
Going through, just kind of scrolling through here, Portland has six in the portal. Pepperdine has seven. Pacific has five. Oral Roberts has five. Omaha has five. Old Dominion has four. Northwestern State has eight. Northern Iowa has four. North Dakota State has four, including Bowden Skunberg, who I think is somebody who's going to go high level. Just great shooter, does a lot of little things well too, and had to grow into that role over a course of a couple seasons. Like, he came out of high school in North Dakota as he was the scorer, like he was the guy with the ball in his hand, and he had to learn that if you try to be that guy and don't play a lick of defense in college, you will not see the floor. So he kind of turned into a little bit of an agitator and good shooter and versatile player. Missouri State also has four. Of course, the Bears have made a coaching change with Dana Ford out. Miami has four. And now we get to Mercer. I'm trying to do the math. Seven for the Bears. Michael Zanoni, David Thomas, Joaquin Yones, who ran the point for them quite a bit this year, Alex Holt, Jake Davis, Robbie Carmody, who has, I think, still has 1 year left, and Anthony Bernard in the portal for Mercer. Some good young players in there, Davis in particular.
Yeah, I Dave Thomas and Jake Davis, I think, were two of the better freshmen in the league, period. And Thomas,
yeah.
Davis got off to a great start, and then I think people kind of focused in on him. And Dave Thomas, who was coming off the bench, I think just continued to just get better every single game.
Yeah.
So I think both those guys will certainly command a lot of looks. I don't, you know, Carmody was a guy that, you know, was at Notre Dame but didn't really play because he had the 3 years of injury.
Right.
Started to play a little bit at Mercer. And then, so I'll be curious to see. Keonis is a guy that I, you know, what doesn't really wow you, but just a solid player.
There are going to be so many open roster spots that I feel like a lot of these guys are going to end up in Division One somewhere over the rainbow.
Yeah, I don't know about Holt will be fine. Zanoni and Bernard.
Yeah.
You know, see how it plays out. I'm not sure they will. But
It's Louisville has five in the portal as I'm scrolling through. Of course, they also had a coaching change with Kenny Payne. Lafayette has four. Iona has eight. Incarnate Word has six. Idaho State has five. Indiana University, Indianapolis, IUI. It's no longer IUPUI or UIPUI, as they like to call it in the Summit League days. It's now IUI. They also made a coaching change. They have nine in the portal. Houston Christian has eight. Holy Cross has six, four for Hampton, George Mason has five, and then we get to
the Furman Paladins,
which have a very interesting pair of players in the portal. Marcus Foster and Carter Witt have elected to seek their fortunes elsewhere aside from the purple and white in Greenville.
Yeah, those are two big hits, and there's still talk that Alex Williams and a few others are going to go in as well, so wait and see. At least there were a few others rumored at the tournament that they were expecting three or four fairly big heavy hitters, and this is new to Furman. Furman, I guess the only one they really lost, Noah Gurley, after his sophomore year, was a legit, I thought, prospect. And he went to Alabama and was okay. You know, 6-7 points his junior year. Got out recruited and really didn't play a lot his senior year. Would have been better off doing the Jalen Slauson and figuring out how to get drafted at Furman as opposed to making the jump. And this wasn't
I mean, Jalen Slauson demonstrated you can do that.
Yep.
You can get drafted at Furman.
And it was the COVID year Gurley left as well. Yep. So there were a lot of things. But other than Noah Gurley, really Furman hasn't lost any key folks to portal transfer type deals. I mean, they've had some players leave because they weren't playing or whatever, but they really haven't lost anybody. So this will be the first mass exodus turnover in the new college basketball world for Bob Ritchie to handle and deal with.
Eastern Michigan has five, and then we get to ETSU. Braden Illick, Tyler Rice, Justice Smith. And shame to see all those guys leave.
I'm shocked. I mean, again,
not necessarily just floored, because we've been in this long enough that we understand there's roster churn, and typically those are the guys that aren't seeing the floor a whole lot that try to go find somewhere else to play. And I liked all three of them. I never had a problem with any of them. They were always cool dudes at practice, and wish them all the best. I think they were, if nothing else, they were positive cultural additions at ETSU. I appreciate that and appreciate their time and efforts here.
Yep. And all stuck – Smith and Illick stayed through the coaching change, and so that's
yep.
something you don't really see. And with them in the portal, that would only leave Seymour.
And Struthers.
And Struthers, the roommates, right? That's the only guys left there. So I don't think there's shock. Rice lost playing time when Struthers came back.
Yes.
And there just wasn't enough minutes to go around.
And I got to say, Alan Struthers took a step forward this year. I mean, you could tell he had spent some time in the weight room. It just, you know, he looked like the athletic disruptor point guard that I think he was envisioned to be, and he took a big step forward in his redshirt sophomore season.
Yes, and was an integral part. Again, I think being a coach's kid and knowing how mm-hmm. to help win games where it's not necessarily scoring, I thought that's really where Allen took a step up. And, you know, I just think Illich just never quite found a spot, you know, really. Mm-hmm. His first year they wanted to, want him to bulk up, play inside. It really wasn't his deal. Then Coach Savage took over and tried to get him to drop some weight and then be a pick-and-pop guy. And that, so, I think a fresh start for Braden Illich will be good too. And probably same thing for Justice Smith, who was playing a little bit. Then he had the ankle injury and then just never really got back in the rotation. So not shocked by those guys, but all those guys gave a lot of time and commitment. And for, Illich and Smith, went through a coaching change, tried to give it a go. Wish them the best of luck there.
Charleston Southern has 6 in the portal. Central Michigan has 5. Canisius has 7. Cal Poly has 5. Poly made a coaching change. I think several of those schools did. And that's all of the big bulk transfers. Anybody with like a third of their roster in the portal.
Well, I think there's a couple of names to point out. One, Jacoby Gillespie, which a lot of folks around here know. He was a Greenville High School product and had a ridiculous year at Belmont. He averaged 17.5 points per contest. Matter of fact, he ended Braden Illich's senior year. It was Morristown East and Greenville. So they were able to play each other through there. So I think that's one there. There's a Filipowski in there. No, it's not the Duke Filipowski. I believe it's his brother at Harvard, Filipowski. So, if you need a 6'11 guy floating around, that's one. So I also like to do – this is more of a Gallagher thing, but he always liked to find the tallest guy and the shortest guy and then pitch for them to be on the roster for no reason.
You find a 7-footer?
Bradford, 7-foot from New Mexico State. He's a 7-foot.
Oh, yeah, Davion Bradford. Davion, he went in January. So.
Yep, so he's still out there. I saw a 5'8", though. Let's see, it was one more 7-footer. So Phil Paskey, 6'11". So if you want to put him in the conversation of right there. Penn State, 6'10". Aiyer.
I got your smallest.
All right, what do you got? I had 5'8 a minute ago, and I'm trying to find him.
Bryson Childress, 5'8", 150 at a High Point.
Yeah, there we go.
Just ahead of Deion Perry out of Loyola, Maryland, 5'8", 160.
Yeah.
That's a small guy for men's college basketball.
So there we go. That's what – that's what we got on the men's side. On the women's side, do we have anything on the women's side to report?
I was just looking for the tallest guy. There's a couple of 7 – I think Bradford probably – because he tips the scales at 270, that's your tiebreaker. Cade Horniker, 7 foot, 240. On the women's side. In the SoCon, this is not totally up to date. We're taping this. It's 245 on Tuesday. A lot of the information that we have is from yesterday. Western Carolina has Audrey Myers and Chelsea Wooten in the portal. Wooten was kind of the three-point shooter and, at times could kind of be a little bit, chuck and chase. But I think as a player that could provide an offensive impact for somebody somewhere. Samford maybe had the most surprising departures in that Riley Stevenson, Kirsten Nelson went in. And then Mason Marchbanks, the SoCon Freshman of the Year a season ago, is in the transfer portal. And Carly Hyder, who had a really, really good sophomore year for Carly Coons down in Homewood, is also in the transfer portal.
That's some big losses right there.
That's significant.
Yeah. That'll be turnover. We'll wait and see. I, yeah, that's just the name. I'm trying to think. Gosh. Oh, well, what else you got? Let me see. If that right now, that that would have to be the leader of clubhouse, unless there's a mass exodus at Mercer, maybe?
Well, the only player in the portal for Mercer is a player who is going in as a grad transfer. Summa Evans is getting her degree, and she is able to transfer and has elected to do so. Summa Evans, easily the most impactful player in the transfer portal out of the SoCon, a player who was in the running for SoCon Player of the Year, and just in general, an extremely talented and fun player to watch who could land at a multitude of places and make a meaningful impact.
Yeah, Summa Evans, is when she's healthy, she's as good as about anybody, I think, in mid-major basketball. Can really do it all. Inside game, got a shot, can defend. Certainly knows how to play the game of basketball. So Summa Evans certainly is going to be a great get. Curious to see what level she wants to try to go to. Or can go to.
Correct myself. Raven Thompson was the freshman of the year last year. Summa Evans was all freshman team. Or not Summa Evans. Mason Marchbanks was all freshman team. She was not the freshman of the year. Summa Evans was the defensive player of the year a season ago. Could have been the player of the year this year. Just great jump shooter. Really good in transition. Fun, long, athletic player. Just when you have players that you enjoy watching. So I will miss seeing Summa Evans suit up for Mercer and get the chance to watch her a couple times a year. Elsewhere in the SoCon, Furman had a couple departures down the rotation. Evie DiPietro and Ella Riggs are both in the portal.
DiPietro's a grad transfer, and she just never really got off the bench. Who was the other
one? Ella Riggs, sophomore.
Yeah, she didn't get off the bench either.
Lamia Walker is a grad transfer from Chattanooga, has gone ahead and gone in the portal. And then for ETSU, Jalea Cotton, and we can confirm Malia Kirtner, also in the transfer portal for ETSU. So that's a couple of players from down the bench. And Kirtner was expected to a degree because she was honored on senior day. Cotton will go to a program with 2 years of eligibility somewhere. And just hate to see, you know, you hate it. Right, because again, Jalea, unbelievable kid, never really got the most out of her game offensively, I think, but defensively was good, you know, could bring the ball up the floor, just a great athlete and so quick with her feet, smart positionally, and just, you know, the offensive piece has got to come together, and maybe a fresh start will do that for J5. And then Kirtner was, again, graduating. She's getting her degree from ETSU. Sarah Thompson is as well, and was honored on senior day. So would not be just completely surprised to see transfer portal because Sarah does have a year left. But you also, when you get your degree, you've kind of done what basketball wants you to do, or what you ask for basketball to do. And to get you a college education and get you a college education for little to no cost. I would not be surprised if Sarah's a competitor. I think she'll want to play, but if she goes in and says, you know, not for me, or she has conversation, she thinks about it, she's like, yeah, I'm just going to go do something else. I would not be surprised if she went and did something else.
Yeah, fulfilled. Her degree is going to have that.
Yes.
My gut feeling was kind of like Jaden Parker, like when I saw, like, hey, they're going in, and me doing research, and like, they got more time to go. So tells you either one of two things. They're either not going to play anymore, or they may just see what's out there. And at least for Kirtner so far, it's see what's out there. For Parker, it's go play overseas.
Yeah, I think money. And then I know Thompson, that was something that JP had kind of been ruminating on, the possibility of playing professional ball. And I think that conversation probably progressed to the point where he was honored on senior day. And that's, you know, again, everybody's got, once you have done the thing that college basketball is meant to do for you, which is get you your undergraduate degree, you kind of have a lot of flexibility on what you want to do next. And it's in your court on what you want to do. And a lot of people have a lot of different decisions, a lot of different priorities, because they've all had different experiences, because they're all different people. So everybody will do things a little bit differently. All right. Speaking of, I mean, the transfer portal for coaches is a little bit different right? And sometimes it can leave a school with egg on their face. Long Beach State.
What a great story.
Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Fire your coach on – or announce you're going to fire your coach on Monday. And like, we'll let you coach the tournament. And then his players rally and they win the tournament and they're in the dance for the first time in over a decade. Now, I mean, you can say, well, they hadn't been in the dance in a decade. It's like, but yeah, but also this guy just took you to the NCAA tournament. And his team just took you to the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, all-time leader in wins, 17 seasons. The Bucks, I forgot what tournament. I don't know if it was South Dakota or – it wasn't South Dakota. There was a tournament where Long Beach State was at, that ETSU was at, and I don't believe they played them at it, but we're at the same place, one of those MTE-type deals.
Right.
But, you know, you see that, and they give it the, hey, we're going to be up front with you. You can have one last hurrah with the team at the tournament, but then we're moving forward. And then you tell the team that, and I feel like it's like the old major league, right? Then they just like, all right, well.
Well, it's more like slap shot, really. We got nothing to play for.
Yeah.
Strother Martin comes in. There are scouts in there tonight with contracts in their pockets, and they're looking for talent. And then they just go start a massive fist fight, and one of them skates around with the trophy at the end. But it's total chaos. That didn't happen to Long Beach State, which is no longer their mascot is now, or their nickname is now, the Beach. They're the Long Beach State Beach.
Hmm.
It's like the Barbie movie. My job, it's like Ken in the Barbie movie. My job is just beach. Not seen the Barbie movie?
No.
Dude.
Nope. My wife took my daughter, and we did not, the boys didn't go.
You must not be doing patriarchy very well then. That's a line from the movie. I do not think that Jay is an active participant in the patriarchy. The Long Beach State Beach. And if that couldn't get any sillier, it did when they fired a coach that won the NCAA tournament. Kevin Keats was on the hot seat at NC State, too.
Triggered a new two-year
$7 million extension.
Five in a row they won.
Automatically triggers the contract extension for Kevin Keats.
And my guy DJ Burns, who played ETSU when he was at Tennessee, played ETSU when he was at Winthrop, now he's at NC State. I thought with the quote of the tournament after they beat Duke, and he said, what about all these people are out there, you know, cheering for you guys and pull for you? He goes, they weren't cheering for us. They were just cheering for Duke not to win. So I said, how about the self-awareness of DJ Burns, understanding that, you know, in a tournament situation, even the ACC tournament, where there are people like, you know what, we don't want Duke to win, so who's playing them? We'll just pull for you.
I am the smartest man alive!
And that's all I have to say about that. Coaching changes, though. Western Carolina has hired for men's basketball, and I think they did about as well as you could ask by hiring Tim Kraft from Gardner-Webb, somebody who has been to an NCAA tournament at another program and now comes to Cullowhee after a decade-ish at Gardner-Webb.
And a decade even on the money, 10 years, I believe.
Decade exactly. On the nose, okay. That's a terrific hire. I mean, you hired a sitting Division I head coach to come to Cullowhee to take over that program. Man, that's awesome. I would consider that a win for Western Carolina. Are the Catamounts now? My question is, what kind of resources does he have available to him? What in that orbit? Right, resources that aren't necessarily available to him but are available to his athletes as far as name, image, and likeness would be concerned. Like, what is he going to have down there? Because if he's got enough to put a roster together like Justin Gray was able to put a roster together, Western Carolina is going to be just fine. Western Carolina might even get a little bit better by the time it's all said and done. But just on the frame of the basis of what we typically evaluate a coaching hire on, I think it's hard to look at that and think that Western did anything other than nail it.
I think it was a great hire. Tim Kraft was on Gardner-Webb's staff for the famed Tim Jennings tap in the dome, first round of the A-Sun tournament, if you remember, back in 2005. Yes, sir.
I do not remember.
I don't want to talk about it. So the Bucks played in the very first game.
Yes, hosted the tournament.
Quarterfinals and got beat in the very first game, and then the home team's out. Then next year got the title game, and they got beat by Belmont. But he was an assistant, recruited Tim Jennings, and then later, after following former ETSU assistant Jeff Lebo, who was head coach East Carolina, went with him, then went back to Gardner-Webb for a decade as a head coach.
Wait, 06. Was that – that wasn't Kenyon Swader, was it? Or was it?
No.
Okay.
No. No, that was – the Swader was 2 years later.
It was 08? Because then 09 was Pegram, Tiggs, Mike Smith.
Yes, the 08, 09 – yes, it was 07, 08 because it was the semifinal game with Belmont in Allen Arena was the Kenyon Swader, Doug Sermons incident. Well, we've really brought Buck fans down or the last little bit, but
well, what was the name of was that the Tech Heard Round the World? I think is what that was called back in the day.
Yeah, that was the one time I think I remember Dave Mullins and Murray Bartow having to be restrained by security trying to enter the officials' locker room.
Wow!
You know, Dave Mullins could get fiery now. Well, I know a lot of people may not believe that, but like,
yeah,
he could get mad. He could get red-faced. Not quite Doc Sander red-faced, but he could get red-faced and really wear out people. Coach Bartow is more of a pro's pro, so to get him actually banging on the door and telling Sermons he's not man enough to come out and face him, I'm like, whoa. Like, that's how you know you've got it on the skin of Murray Bartow. And then that also, though, led the Bucks to the next year come in just really focused, and they just hammered Belmont in the semis, and it wasn't even close. And then they hammered Jacksonville, got to the first of two tournaments. But that being said, Tim Kraft was on the Gardner-Webb staff through 04 to 06 range. Then he went to East Carolina. Then comes back as the head coach for 10 years. Did a great job at Gardner-Webb, and I think a great hire for Western Carolina.
Agreed. And Mercer has made a hire as well.
Another good one, I think. So they get Ron Ritter, and he really kind of – he made his headway down in mid-Florida. So Daytona State, they were Juke. I think they went D2, though. I think they became four-year school. But they have to. They're state. Yeah, Daytona State, most positive. They're a D2 school. And then Bethune-Cookman.
Well, that,
and they went to UT Martin.
And they went to UT Martin, yeah. So, again, another sitting Division I head coach. And somebody who has won regular season conference titles at both of his previous two D1 stops. He won a regular season title year one at BCU and then won a regular season title this year at UT Martin.
Yeah, 21-11 at UT Martin. So, you know, three seasons, 48 wins, his career record at all three previous stops, 191 and 120. All those look like rebuilders when he got there. So I think you look at that, I think a good hire. And Southern Conference coaches continue to move on to higher levels. And I know some questioning maybe the Coastal Carolina, but I would argue that, yes, I think Coastal Carolina, maybe CA or Sun Belt, right?
They're Sun Belt.
So Sun Belt, if you look at the SoCon Sun Belt overall rankings there, but I will say Coastal Carolina has more going forward, hoops wise, than Western Carolina
and beaches,
and easy to recruit to. Now, the biggest question going back to
your
Tim
job
Kraft,
is just beach.
So, Tim Kraft, the one thing he's got to overcome is when Justin Gray left, I don't believe he's going to take that CP3 collective with him, and there will not be as much collective money going on at Western Carolina,
right? That's
unless you want to play football,
that's the concern, yeah.
So both women's coaches, as far as we can search and find for.
There has
Mercer
not been a replacement
Western,
for Kylie
right,
Hill yet, and there has not been a replacement for Susie Gardner yet, but it does not appear that any other performance-based changes are imminent in the SoCon in men's or women's basketball. And the changes we would be most likely to see are changes where somebody got really good and got hired by somebody with more money.
Yeah, so AKA, will Bucky McMillan and Sean Poppy have new jobs? Because I think there could be depending on other fallouts of things where other coaches, like would Mike Jones maybe get a look? Is there some other ones that could possibly move on? I would say yes.
Depending on how everything shakes out, you know, secondary job, the after effects. I think on the women's side, the notable ones are really right now Kentucky and Clemson are big ones that are open. Sean Poppy played at Limestone and coached at Furman and USC Upstate and in the ACC with Virginia Tech. So I would imagine that
ties to that South Carolina.
I would imagine that the folks in the high country, in the upstate, are he's probably on their radar. They're probably aware of him, and I will not speculate on whether conversations have happened or not because I don't know for a fact. But I would have to imagine. I'd be stunned if they weren't at least considering the possibility of Sean Poppy. Bucky McMillan, I think, could have several suitors. There are going to be several power conference openings. Honestly, it might depend on how deep into the NCAA tournament he goes. If they go to the Sweet 16, he might miss out on the chance to take another job because a school might get cold, might get antsy and be like, oh, we can't wait. Portal. Got to recruit the portal. Recruit the portal and recruit donors and NIL and blah, blah, blah. And we gotta run our program. We can't wait for the right person. We have to just get a person in here that can run the program, and then in 2 years we'll fire that person and hire the right person. But I don't know. We'll see how the tournament shakes out. I think Samford does have McNeese is going to be a very popular upset pick. If McNeese wins, I think Samford has a real shot. Now, obviously, they have to win against Kansas, and I do think they have a chance to win that game. They have a real shot at the Sweet 16. And I think that is the one – that part of the bracket is the one where I'm feeling the froggiest about upsets, and I jumped on a few of them.
Well, let's
I think about, I had Utah State in the Elite
Well, let's
Eight,
talk about
actually.
Matchups, though, because, I think the NCAA has a little bit of sense of humor where it tries to find interesting matchups, right? And I want to start first on the women's side.
I want to start on the men's. How about the fact that UConn, Auburn, and Iowa State are all in the same bracket? That's three of the top six, I think, KenPom teams. And they're 1, 2, and 4. How did that happen?
Well, they don't use KenPom, I guess.
That floored me. Yeah. UConn is the one, obviously. And then Iowa State is the 2. Auburn is the 4 behind Illinois. Blech.
What about they pretty much, everyone's gone with the theory that VCU was expected to win. They were going to be the 11 seed. Duquesne put off the upset Sunday, and everybody was too lazy to redo the bracket, and they just threw Duquesne as an 11, which had everyone flummoxed.
Yeah, BYU's going to smash them. BYU is underseeded. That is a team that I think could go on a – that's a second weekend team.
Like, do you think – again, I love to see these. Do you think that the committee wanted to possibly see the Dukes play Duke? Did they put JMU in there in case they pulled off the upset? So the Dukes will play the Dukes.
Maybe.
Like, I'm a firm believer because there's always a big argument over who's the real UT and the right orange. And Texas and Tennessee can play.
That could conceivably happen.
Segar out.
I mean, I don't know that it will. Texas gets the winner of Colorado State, right?
Texas gets the winner. Yes, they got to get by that one first. But if they get by that, they would be the higher seed and a seed that would not have played a game yet.
Colorado State's going to the Sweet 16. The Mountain West got hosed in seeding. Like, there were most of their
– they got six in.
They did get six, but they were all probably a seed line lower than they should have been. And they kind of got a raw deal out of it. And the teams that are going to get the raw deal as a result of that are your legacy brands. They are going to get burned by – the Mountain West, and we are going to really start moving toward taking the Mountain West as a higher-end conference and embracing the Mountain West as a higher-end conference because it is now the only extant conference in FBS west of the Rockies. With more than half his teams in the Rockies or West, I think, or Colorado or West, Mountain or Pacific time zone. There's nobody, I think, in Central time. So it would be the only conference in FBS that has nobody in the Central or Eastern time zones.
Especially when you talk about the Big Ten and ACC have every time zone covered.
Yes. Yes, they do. And so does Big 12. Big 12 does, too. Because Big 12 got Colorado. Colorado's Mountain. And they got Arizona, which is sometimes Pacific.
I take that back. Sometimes the Big Ten doesn't have a Mountain, do they? Let me think that through. No, they do not.
They do not have a Mountain. You're
they
right.
do not. Sorry. I misspoke on that.
Yeah, because Colorado went to Big 12.
Big 12, yep.
What a wild world to live in. Clemson sued the ACC today.
What'd they sue for?
They basically said that the grant of rights expires when a school leaves. The school's grant of rights ends when the school leaves the conference, and that exit fee penalties are unenforceable. Okay. Here we go.
So they have joined. And this comes on
Florida State sued the ACC separately.
Right. But ultimately, those are the two schools we heard the most about, maybe looking to go elsewhere.
Yup.
AKA the SEC.
Yup.
Which, by the way, the CFP signed a new 6-year, $7.8 billion. I'm glad football will have money to operate on. I was so concerned that football would not be able to operate with what they were dealing with. So, you know, now CFP and ESPN through 2031-32 season, $7.8 billion. That seems like a lot. And Clemson sued.
Is that a lot?
How about that? Clemson sued over
exorbitant exit fees, basically saying that they're unenforceable.
That they also voted to sign, right? Like, I always enjoyed that. Like, you agree to a deal, and you're like, now, wait a minute. Whoa. What if I want to go?
Right. A contract is a contract is a contract, but only between football teams. I guess that's our show, isn't it?
$572 million to exit with the rights. Yep.
It's quite a lot.
140 estimated. Yep.
We're in under 50 minutes again. The pods are getting shorter now.
Let's go. Oh, by the way, we're a week away, right? Spring, a little less week away. Spring football the 25th.
Starts on the 25th.
Yes. Team up, kick it off, right? We'll have a, I don't know what kind of reporting we'll be doing, but we'll do something.
We'll do something. And now we've got a nice new couch for all these coaches and players to sit on when we talk to them.
Yeah, we do need to, as spring ball starts winding down, we'll get the coaches in here.
Winding down? It's winding up, baby.
Well, we'll get that's on 15.
Rev it up.
Add it up, add it up.
Rev it up. Spring game's
April 19th.
Spring game is on the 19th at 7. Thunder. Gates open at 4. It is free and open to the public. Spread the word. We got marching band. We got a live band. We got food. It's like everything that you ask for and don't get on the Jay and Keith Show on the Buccaneers Sports Network.
Oh, you got to be kidding me.